Fred Craddock was a seminary professor, and he had been lecturing at Yale. And then afterwards, him and his wife were going to go on a little holiday. And so they went through Tennessee, and they stopped over at a small restaurant. And the two of them were ordering their supper. And have you ever been in a situation where you've been somewhere and you just want it to be the two of you? Well, Fred noticed that as they were ordering, that there was a silver-haired man who was going from table to table. And he thought, I hope he doesn't come over here. He came over there. So he asked Fred what he did. And he said that he teaches homiletics. And he goes, oh, you teach the preachers. And he goes, have I got a preaching story? And Craddock's thinking, everybody's got a preaching story. The guy's name was Ben Hooper. He said, I grew up not far from here. He said, I had a mom, but I didn't have a dad. And so when I was in school, I was treated horribly, unmercifully. He said, I couldn't walk downtown without having the whole town staring at me. He was about 12 years old. A new minister came to their church, and he always made sure that he got out of church before the benediction. But this one Sunday, he didn't get out right away. And as he's walking out, a hand went on his shoulder, and he turned around, and it was the minister. And the minister said, whose son are you, boy? And he thought, oh, no. Now the minister's giving it to me, too. And then the minister smiled and said, oh, I see the resemblance. I see the family traits. You're a son of God. And with that, he slapped him on the back and said, go get your inheritance, son. Hooper looked at Craddock and said, that was the most important sentence anyone ever said in my life to me. He shook their hands and left. Afterwards, Craddock's thinking, Ben Hooper. Oh, yeah, he was the former governor of Tennessee. God is not as concerned about our past as we are. He's more focused on our future and what can become of us through him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the rescue plan of sending Jesus so we could have a start afresh. As we pilgrimage toward you, help us discover who we are in you and all that you have for us. We truly are the children of God. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is going to be 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Ernie's going to have it up for you. I'm going to read it. Starting verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that through perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy, for you're receiving the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Have you ever had a life-altering experience where something incredibly good happened or something incredibly bad happened? One of those for me was when my dad died suddenly after I had just graduated from high school. I had to make a physical and emotional shift. The support and help I would have had from my dad was no longer there. When such events happen, they can also present opportunities for us to move closer under the loving care of our Heavenly Father. We've just walked through Good Friday, where the worst thing imaginable happened for Jesus' followers, their beloved leaders crucified. But today is Easter Sunday, and everything has turned on its head, as what looked like the ultimate defeat is transformed into the greatest victory ever. Jesus' incredible resurrection from the dead should be the greatest life-altering event we ever experience. In our text today, the Apostle Peter is writing this letter to a group of small churches throughout the Northwest Asia Minor area, which are Roman provinces. He longs to encourage and reaffirm that they're all equally part of the family of God. And the play out of this is that they should naturally love one another. These have become socially marginalized because of their faith in Christ. Peter doesn't want them to focus on the rejection and persecution, but in God's love and protection over them. The Lord has promised that when the end comes, they'll be vindicated and glorified, and the same is true for us. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given Christians a new birth or a new life. And this hope has come through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Everything has now changed forever. He is risen. He's risen. He's risen. Fleming Rutledge has said, if Christ was not raised from the dead, we would have never heard of him. Thousands were crucified. God wants us to experience everything that could possibly enrich our lives, and it's all found in relationship with him. We cannot earn this gift of being rescued, but rather it's given to us freely. We were helpless, with no way to right the wrongs and sin in our lives. The living Christ enters the scene and promises us new life, which he's capable of fulfilling. Just when you think the cup is full, he gives more. 1 Peter 1:4, not only does he give us a reason for living by making us whole again, but we are promised an inheritance that'll never perish. I once played on a ball hockey team and won a silver medal at the Northern Alberta Winter Games. We represented the mighty town of Bruderheim. I have no idea where that medal is today, but I have to tell you it was pretty cheap and very much leaning on the perishable side of things. All those who are followers of Christ will experience the completion of this salvation in eternity. All is not right in our world and in our lives. Have you noticed? But one day it will be made right in heaven. And this inheritance will neither perish, spoil, or fade. It's going to last forever. How do we receive this eternal inheritance? 1 Peter 1:5, it says, being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Those who follow Christ will persevere through to the end because of God's power in our lives and through our faith and trust in him. In Philippians 2:13 it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. So often it's the Lord who initiates or pursues us. He first gives us the desire to obey him, and then God empowers us through the Holy Spirit to live in such a way that it pleases him. I love it. I don't even have the initiation to want to pursue him. He pursues me, and then he gives us the power to be able to do it. This mercy that God extends to us is past, present, and future. It's past in that our experience of salvation happened when we first believed. It is present in that we're being saved and being transformed into the image of Christ today. And it's futuristic in that when Christ returns, we'll be glorified with him. 1 Peter 1:6. It continues, in this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials. Have you ever sacrificed and worked toward a particular goal? I know of a single mom who saved all her money to go to Hawaii with her daughter. I have good friends who got married and bought a house. And for their Christmas presents, they gave each other winter tires. Jesus suffers and dies and is resurrected so we can have life. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Sometimes being a follower of Jesus is very uncomfortable, especially if you find yourself swimming upstream when everyone else is headed downstream. But in the midst of these trials, the Apostle Peter says, we can rejoice or have joy. How is this rationally possible? If these followers of Christ lived according to these promises, an inheritance kept in heaven for them, that God was promising them, they would be full of joy because of all they had received and were about to receive. These Christians that Peter's writing to were not winning popularity contests because of their faith in Christ. Sometimes to follow in the path of Christ, we're going to know lonely and difficult times. But they can rejoice even in the midst of suffering. Why? 1 Peter 1:7 says, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When our faith is tested, it'll burn away the things that are not permanent and lasting. The apostle compares them to gold, which is purified under intense heat, yet it still perishes. If you've ever seen a family who have lived through a tornado or a hurricane, they're not as concerned about their possessions as they are that everyone is safe. In the busyness of life, it can be easy to be distracted from what is essential. Peter says their faith will not only endure through the persecution, but they will grow as a result of it. Although few of us are excited about tests, is anybody here like tests? I was going to say something I shouldn't say. Nobody's too excited about tests, but they don't just reveal what we don't know, it also reveals what we do know. In this case, trials in our lives can affirm that we're placing our complete trust in Jesus. 1 Peter 1:8, it says, although you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious glory. If we're beginning to grasp who we are in Christ, it'll impact all of our relationships. When we know we're loved unconditionally, that we are forgiven, and that we're fully accepted in who we've been made, it calms our hearts and our minds. We no longer need to run from person to person or relationship to relationship, longing for others to validate us, to fill the vacuum in our souls. So when people or even events try to rattle our cage, we can find peace in Jesus. Do you remember in John 20, where Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection, but Thomas, doubting Thomas, is missing? Thomas declares, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them. Place my hand into the wound of his side. When Jesus shows up again, Thomas is more convinced, and he says, my Lord and my God. But listen to what Jesus says next. He told Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. That is us. We believe without seeing. Blessed are you. These followers of Christ love God and are committed to him, even though they've not seen Jesus with their own eyes. Their response to God is an indescribable and glorious joy. 1 Peter 1:9 concludes the section. For you're receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Believers can rejoice because they're receiving God's incredible gift of salvation. I have a friend, I met him later in life. His family grew up in Calgary. So it was his parents, him, and two sisters. And eventually they all grew up, they had kids, moved away. Well, his parents got older and older, and finally his dad died, and then his mom died. And so then they had to go through the house and clean all the house up. And there was a safe in the house. You never guess what was in the safe. They opened it up, And there were bars and bars of gold. And then there were thousands upon thousands of dollars of cash. And then there was jewelry in there. If anybody would have broken into that house and gone to that safe, none of the stuff in it would have been traceable. My friend said, I guess my dad had never heard of something called a bank, where they have things like safety deposit boxes for such stashes. How do we determine what is a priority in life? It is by investing ourselves in the things that will have a lasting impact in eternity. We can gain an inheritance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate all that this life has to offer with us each day. We have breath. And yet there's also a great expectation that we'll receive our eternal inheritance as well. The trials and the difficulties that we experience can actually help us separate what is essential in our lives compared to what is non-essential. These churches that Peter is writing are experiencing suffering because of their faith. And their relationship with Christ is putting them in a juxtaposed position to the society in which they're living. The desire to do what is right is grating against their neighbors. They're not embracing the worship of false gods or the worship of the emperor. They're not embracing materialism or immorality of the pagan culture. Can we say that we experience persecution because of our relationship to God? Or could those around us even tell that we are Christians? Or do we just blend in with whatever atmosphere we find ourselves a part of? To identify with Christ is to know suffering. When people were presented with the good news of Christ in Scripture, the response was rarely neutral. It was usually a transforming encounter or an outright rejection. Because of living in a pluralistic society, people want to be able to come to God in whatever way happens to be their lifestyle. I'm a good person. I'm better than half of my neighbors. Has anybody been in my neighborhood? I'm better than half of my neighbors. So why shouldn't I get in? God says we can only have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. When was the last time you found yourself on the outside because of being a follower of Jesus? When was the last time you've taken opportunity to share how Jesus has made a difference in your life at school, at work, at the gym, or at the coffee shop? If our Heavenly Father has indeed given us this incredible gift of a new life, both now and in eternity, do we believe it enough to share this good news with others? The victory experienced on Easter Sunday is something that we can celebrate and live into every day of our lives, every breath of our lives. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are sons and daughters of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask you to reveal if there's anything in our lives that is blocking our growth in you. As you transform us from the inside, help us to positively touch those around us. Give us the ability to share this gift with the world in which we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the dark through
Couple announcements. I'll do a benediction. We'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Things I want to remember today. If you want prayer, on the right backhand corner, there'll be people there that can pray with you. Youth is happening Wednesday at 7 o'clock, meeting here at the church. Next Sunday is one of those Sundays where we put a star beside. It's a soup and pie Sunday. I like soup and pie Sunday. And so there's a sign-up list of what you want to bring, if you want to bring soup or pie or whatever, but we always have a great time on these Sundays. Can you think of the first memory you ever had in your life? I probably shouldn't tell you this because it's a great story, but the first one that I remember was I was able to walk and a rooster attacked me. And I had not taken martial arts yet. And so what's happening, and again, I didn't know where my cousin is, I didn't know where my brother is, it's a rooster in me. And so it attacks me and tries to peck my eyes out, so I'm not very tall. And so this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, if I crawl under this fence, I'm going to get away from the rooster. Well, the rooster crawled underneath the fence too. Didn't stop anything. Fortunately, one of my oldest cousins came and grabbed the rooster and somebody ate him that night. there's been somebody with you ever since you were little. Through all the ups and downs, all the changes, all the joys, all the sorrows, all the difficulties. And he's still here. He's still present. He knows you like no one else. As you go under the sign of the cross, that Christ wants to walk with us from this life to the next. Allow him to be part of every day of your lives. Amen.
Amen. Please stand while we close out. Time is up. I'm gonna live like the stone is.